the Newfound Overland Podcast, where we have relevant conversations about vehicle-dependent travel, adventure bikes to rocklanders, weekend warriors to full-time travelers, and everything in between. Newfound Overland. Overlanding undefined. Welcome back to another episode of Newfound Overland Podcast. I'm your host, Benji, and this is our weekly kickstart, our fun little Monday show we do each and every Monday. It's kind of the, all over the place, if you will. No agenda. We just kind of try to cover the basics, and I like to incorporate our phone line to where y'all can call in and feel like you're a part of the show, which you are, only if you participate. Listening, you're just an observer. So if you call in, you are a part of the show. And the phone number for that is down in the show notes below. But before we get into any of the voicemails, we've got two to cover today. I want to say a happy congratulations to Jacob and Savannah Biddle. They got married yesterday, and you know, they're just a sweet couple. I love them so much. They're going to do big things with their lives, but I couldn't make their wedding. My son got sick on Friday. My wife was out of town. The plan was for me and my son to leave at noon on Friday, go down there, and then go to their wedding on Saturday and potentially camp. But it was all over the place. Couldn't make it happen. I felt pretty bad about it because I was looking forward to it ever since they gave us the date a year ago. And anyway, Jacob, love you. Savannah, love you. You guys have a fantastic life together. I think you guys are perfect for one another. Anyway, I just want to get that out there. And if you guys don't know, Jacob Biddle is Eagles Overlanding on YouTube. Go check out all his stuff. Phenomenal, man. He's like 22 years old. He's got a good grasp on life, and he's out there doing stuff. So I love it. He's following his dreams. Anyway, guys, I'll shut up about that. Like I said earlier, we got two voicemails to cover today, and those are pretty good. Our topic talk expired. This is the last week of the month, the last Monday show of the month, and then we're going to roll over into May. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, the topic talks are kind of a fun thing to spur a conversation, not necessarily just to call in with questions, which, you know, the hotline's all about. You can call in and say how you're doing, anything. If you modded your rig and you're just excited and your wife doesn't care, or your buddies don't know anything about all this, and you feel like you need to share it with the world, this is the platform to do it on, and I would love to have you guys call in more often. So, two good voicemails today, and then we are at 27 reviews over on Apple Podcasts for the Newfound Overland Podcast. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, for every 10 reviews that I get over there, I'm going to, you know, do a random drawing. Once you enter, that's how your name gets into the pool of drawing. And then, for every 10, I'm going to draw a sticker, and then just send them out until we get to 200. And eventually, and it might be sooner than later, I'm going to start doing some bigger giveaways. So there's going to be probably, hopefully, two drawings a week or something rather. We might just do one big lump, you know, so like the person might get a, you know, whatever I'm going to give away plus the sticker. So you want to go over, leave Newfound Overland a review on Apple Podcast. Unfortunately, that does not work over on Spotify or any of the other listening platforms. And while you're at it, go over to Facebook, go to Instagram, go to YouTube, give NFO a follow. I'm going to try to do some more fun giveaways there, not giveaways, but just random stuff, you know, just conversation starters. And then, you know, whatever, if I send you a sticker or whatever, I love doing that stuff. I love giving out stuff, really no strings attached on that. Sometimes, you know, people will say, you know, like, share and tag three friends. I don't have the bandwidth to do that. And then to make sure everyone is following the rules. Now, sometimes I will do that. I've not done anything ever like that, but potentially, you know, I'm not going to rule that out, but just show up over there and get on the action, because it's going to be fun. This is going to be a fun ride. That's for sure. Let's see here. Not a whole lot's going on with my truck. Since I was unable to go down to Arkansas for the wedding, literally just stayed home. Yes, there was a lot of work I could have done to my vehicle. As most of you guys know, I kind of threw it together quite quickly to make it to More Expo, and the rear sway bar bracket, you know, it's the actual bracket for the sway bar on the driver rear, it is broken. The bolt sheared off, so I tried to tap it out last week before more, and I was spending too much time on it. Could not do it. So anyway, I got everything else kind of halfway fixed to where I could drive it, you know, and I even threw on some aftermarket. I don't even know what they're for. They're like for a 91 Chevy half ton, three quarter ton. I don't know, upper ball joints, because I ordered JBAs a week prior to going and they never showed up. And anyway, I was a little stressed out about making it to Morton in the first place. I know a lot of you guys have already heard all the obstacles I had to do that. Did all the differential swaps from a parts rig I had to this one. Bearings, spindles, brakes. Just talking about it just gives me an aneurysm. So anyway, that's on the back burner for now. I don't have any major things coming up. I am going to try to take the family camping this coming up weekend. But if you're from the Midwest, guys, we have been experiencing tornadoes. We have been experiencing a lot of rain, a lot of high winds. And if you are in the listener base of anywhere where this past weekend or prior to tornadoes touching down, because I feel like there's a lot more tornadic activity this year, maybe. I don't know if I'm just not observant in the past years, the previous years, but like this year, it just seems like, you know, once a big storm rolls across the Midwest, it seems like there's at least 10 tornadoes, if not more, that touch down and do significant damage. So hearts go out to you guys. I know that it's a struggle. You know, you get everything built up the way you want it, and then poof, this nader comes through, or high winds, and just destroys everything. So heartfelt to you all the listeners out there. Yeah, love you guys. So hopefully everyone's safe. And yeah, let's get after today's voicemails. Today's episode is going to be short and sweet. Honestly, I don't have a lot of content to talk about within this episode. It could expand a little bit. Let's see how these voicemails turn out. And tune back in on Thursday for the main event. I guess I'm going to start calling that. I don't know what to call it. You know, we came up with the Monday show weekly kickstart. I'm going to do the Thursday shows as always with interviews. And then eventually, I know I've been saying I want to interview more in persons, but there's not a lot of people in my area or people coming through. So if you're ever coming through I-44 through the state of Missouri between St. Louis and Springfield, I'd love to have you swing in the studio and let's just chit chat. I'll put you over at a place to camp. I might even cook you dinner. Who knows? So hit me up at heynfo@gmail.com if you're interested in doing that. Or if you just want to be a guest on the show, hit me up heynfo@gmail.com. And yeah, love to have anyone and everyone on the show. I don't care if you got a big YouTube channel or not. I don't care if you drive a school bus or if you're pulling a teardrop camper, if you're on two wheels, four wheels, heck, six wheels. I don't even care. So call in the show or send me an email at heynfo@gmail.com. And let's get after the first voicemail. Here we go.
Hey, Benji, and to the rest of the podcast, it's Brett up here at the Pacific Northwest. Just had a quick tidbit, kind of a question for the general community out there and your personal intake at it as well. Could be a conversation for the future. How do you measure not what to buy as far as branding goes for electric power inverters, whether you have a Jackery, Blue Eddy, whatever you have out there? How would you go about measuring the amount that you would buy, as in wattage? Obviously, if it's you and one other person and you plan on only going for a weekend warrior or possibly, you know, on an extended trip, but you're only using it to recharge your electronic devices and hardly any light usage, a 1500 to 2000 watt power inverter probably just take up more space and be an annoyance that you never have to worry about. Not saying it's a bad thing, but you probably wouldn't have to go that high. But let's say it's you, your significant other, and maybe a child. Would it be better for a 600 to 800 or the 800 to 1000 to have that extended life? Maybe you got to use it to power a couple of extra things. How would one go about measuring it? You know, obviously it may seem more worth it to some people to just do a 300 to 500 watt if it's just by yourself and you're only going to be out for the weekend night, but I'm curious, getting ready to buy one, and I'm looking at a couple of options. I'm kind of leaning more towards one of the 600 to 800 waters for me and my fiance, and I know we would use it to recharge our electronics. She gets to work remotely for the most part, so being able to have that ability when we're camping off-grid and she can still work is always nice. But, yeah, I just, out of curiosity, I guess it kind of comes down to a little bit of usage. I know the things we've used in the past have always been a little bit cheaper. The 150, the 200 isn't a whole lot, but I'm thinking, do I buy once, cry once type of deal and just bite the bullet and go for an 800 watt inverter is what I'm thinking would work best for me. But I just wanted to get the input of the rest of you and you, obviously. So thank you for your time and I'll catch you later.
Brett, this is a weak spot for me, but I know a lot of listeners out there in listening land will hopefully tune in. And my whole take on this, okay, is like I'm a very frugal person. Me and my wife, she'll argue that, I'll argue that with her as well. I'll just tell you guys the story of how I got introduced, to the power stations. You know, you're mentioning inverters and stuff like that as well. I don't have any inverters. I've only got portable power stations for a point and a purpose. So anyway, almost 3 years ago. It's been 3 years. Dang. Okay. So the house we're currently living in, it's built in 1916. I know some of y'all might have already heard this story, but anyway, 3 years ago, when we purchased the house, we did most of the work ourselves. Okay, so we got all new electric, all new plumbing. Some of the ceilings we added can lights, so those have all sheetrock ceilings. Everything else is just kind of old school. It's a Craftsman style home, so we really wanted to keep the integrity of the home. Blah blah blah. Anyway, we didn't have power there for months, so my wife bought a little Jackery. I think it was a little 240, something like that. And really, the only purpose why we bought it was to charge our cellular phones, and that was it. So whenever we're both there, I think it had two USBs. I doubt it had four. I'm just going off my brain here. I think it had two USBs, maybe two DCs. I don't even know. So it was small, right? Just enough for like cell phones. Okay. So now, fast forward, whenever I've got two other power stations on top of that. So I've got a 660 watt hour Blue Eddy. I couldn't even tell you the model of it. It's fantastic. I love it. It's perfect for my diesel heater, and I'll also use it with my fridge. Okay. And then, sometimes with my phone and all this. So I always take two power banks with me, and the power equivalent of the two is roughly 1200 watt hours. So what you do is you take, like a fridge on average, a portable fridge is going to run you between 30 and 50 watts. Once it's to temperature, it's not going to run all the time at that. It's just like anything else. It's got a thermostat in it. It'll kick off, whatever. So if you're going from like a hot day and the cooler's burning up, you stick it in your hot rig, you plug it into everything. Yes, it's going to draw a lot because it's going to take a ton of watts to like cool it down. And I say a ton loosely. There's people out there rolling their eyes right now because I have no idea what I'm talking about, but within a point. Okay. So I'll use one of my Blue Eddies for the fridge. And then I'll have the other one up top for my diesel heater, my cell phone, and then I've got a blow-up mattress. So I literally plug in a blow-up mattress blower thing, whatever you want to call it, because it's really fast compared to like the little portable ones I've had in previous years and stuff. So I really enjoy having the two. My only downside is charging them both while on the road. And I've talked to some people before and they're like, just get you a little inverter, throw it in the back, have some, hard wires ran to where you could just plug it in and make it look seamless and all that fun stuff. That's probably one of the options I'm going to do. Or secondly, just go for an onboard power system. But I can't justify that right now because my platform for my family and my growing family, it's really small. So to throw the coin for onboard power for me is not really relevant to where I'm at right now. So portable power to me, like going back to the budget overland, the budget mindedness, multi-use. If you can get multi-use out of one item, then by all means buy it. But if it's like something that has to be hard mounted and it stays in your rig, and if your power goes out and you're on a trip and your wife's at home and she can't get the power station, whatever, those are just scenarios. Or if you're going to a ball game for whatever reason, you need power. So Look at those pros. Now, for anybody out there who's going to buy a power station, portable power station, I would suggest going anything over 300 watt hours, because anything under that is just, in my opinion, a waste of money. I know people like to talk about solar power and all that. Those more or less act as a trickle charger. Yes, you could do 100% charge up, just depending on if you've got the clear skies, you know, if you've got direct solar panel hits and all this stuff. Again, I'm no expert in this. And honestly, in the previous podcast, Budget Overland, I sat down with 12 Volt Systems. He's out of Oklahoma, and he did a fantastic job of kind of dumbing it down and simplifying it. All I know is, you know, you could take the size of whatever you're wanting to charge it, and you multiply that, and then you could divide it by something to get your number. So if you got a 200 watt hour power station or whatever, and your phone charges at XYZ, so if you charge it 10 times, it's 200 watt hours. So that's plenty for your phone. Now you're going to add a fridge and maybe like the diesel heater and stuff like that. You're going to have to do some other math. So yes and no to what'd you say? Buy once, cry once. I wouldn't say that. I would find more of a middle ground, middle of the road, 600 to 1,000 watt hour. I think you guys would be very comfortable with that, and that would give you something to grow into. And then also, you know, let's say you have that for 2 to 3 years. Maybe you need something sooner than that. Well, I mean, now you've got a portable power station for the house, you know, so you got to look at it like that. I never, people argue on this too. Like when people say, oh, I invested in an awning. Oh, I invested in a cooler or a fridge. I invested in a radio system. Well, those aren't investments, because you're not really getting a return on any of that. So whenever you're buying these things, you need to look at it like it's expendable and you're not going to get your money back ever. Okay. So especially on overland gear, it's such a small niche of a market. Say you buy $1,000 awning, realistically, you could probably get rid of it for like $200 to $400, you know, after it's used and stuff. So you're not going to retain a lot of your initial purchases. It's just what works best for you. And yes, I understand that's why you're asking the question. I just want other people out there to look at it like that. Don't look at it because Jimmy from YouTube's got one. Because I've always said this before too. You know, everyone's setup's different. Everyone who does it, you know, you could tell who does it versus who just shows up to a Riggs and Coffee or whatever. And that's fine. I'm not bashing those people. I'm just saying you could tell by the way they have their systems, you know. And I know some people out there have just like phenomenal credit or just an endless amount of money, so they go out and buy whatever they want, and that's totally cool too. I'm not judging, I'm not throwing shade, I'm not doing anything like that. But whenever you're buying this stuff, you need to look at it for your perspective. A, can you afford it? B, will it last? Will it meet your needs? And then C, I mean, do you know what you're getting? So love you, dude. I'm not bashing the question or nothing like that, or anybody out there in listening land. But excellent considerations. Now for inverters and stuff like that, I have no idea where that's at. So if you guys do know, please call the hotline. The show notes, you know, down below have the phone number and all that stuff. I don't have this one memorized yet. It's like, I don't think it's a 314 number, but it's pretty close to it. I'm going to try to pull it up here on my phone because it's bothering me so much. All right, here's the phone number, 417-319-1969. I'm so glad that I remembered my own phone number for the show. So if you guys want to elaborate or expand off of what I said or correct me on what I said, call into the show. You know, let's keep this stuff rolling. I love it. And then if this topic talk keeps lasting, let's talk about it. I don't care. I love it. Brett, thanks so much for calling in, dude. Hopefully everything's good out there in Washington. For some reason, I want to call you PNW Brett. I just don't know if we're there yet, man. I don't know. I think you need to call in like 5 more times before we start giving out nicknames. So, all right, let's get into caller number 2. And here we go.
What's up, Benji? This is Phil down here in Florida. Give me a quick holler. Wanted to talk about, you know, our cooking. What's cooking? Well, I have a scottle, of course, because you know what overlander doesn't have a scottle? But I also have a Santa Fe disc, which is basically the same thing. But I live on a farm. I can get a plow disc and do it myself anyways. I find that these are excellent for cooking if you don't want to go the, you know, more expensive route and go with the Scottle, the Tembo Tough Scottle. You can check out the Santa Fe disc. They fold up really nice and easy. You can actually strap the big old disc if you want to your spare tire, you know, with a ratchet strap and everything else. But it makes cooking amazing. You know, you want to go ahead and do your bacon, your eggs, your everything. You can do that all there. You know, I have a Blackstone and everything else, but I just like cooking on the Cowboy Wok better. And that's another name for it, is the Scottles or the Cowboy Wok. To me, it's just something about having your bacon and your eggs and everything, and, you know, even your hamburgers and stuff and your tacos. It just makes it so much easier in that dish container than it does working on a griddle. You know, one of my best recipes here, my boys loved it when we went camping, was I did tacos and I took the Tostitos queso cheese and I mixed that in, poured that in. It's just, you know, the dish surface made it a whole lot better than the flat griddle surface. But that's my recommendation. I have both, but just figured I'd go ahead and let y'all know. Hope you have a great week and we'll talk to you soon.
Florida Phil, thanks, brother, for calling in. And I have seen those before. They look fantastic. I'm curious, and you can call back if you want to, or DM me, whatever, but I was curious as to, do you cook other items on there, say, like for me, I buy the pre-frozen meals and stuff, put them in my fridge. That only, you know, it helps prolong the fridge life and all that fun stuff. I know there's some people out there to do the the frozen freezer bag food things. I don't know what they're called, but anyway, do you cook everything on that, or is that just kind of a quick go-to for y'all, you know, at camp for your setup? And then, you know, if you're cooking something else, I'm sure you could cook a lot of stuff on there. That's what I'm getting at. Like, are you limited to the amount of things you could cook on there? I would not assume so, you know, because I used to cook all the time on my Blackstone. You know, it's a flat top, so it's kind of like, yeah, can kind of cook the same thing. As for like the other things like baking and stuff like that, I would not compare that at all. So don't think I'm doing that. So, Phil, appreciate your call. And to branch off of what you said, I was watching a video the other day on the old YouTubes. Don't even know what channel it was. But this guy had like a grate for his little Genesis base camp stove, whatever they're called. And it's a sear and sizzle. And I was like, that looks kind of dumb. And then I was like, well, hold on now. It's the circle, so it fits right on top of there. And that's what I'm rocking now. I've not done a whole lot of cooking on it. I got a smoking deal on it. So I was looking at that because that'd be fantastic for steaks, burgers, whatever. You know, it's more of a grill. It's like a grill grate kind of thing. It's not a griddle or a flat top by any means. But I was like, that's pretty cool. So if you've ever heard of the sear and sizzle, call in. Let me know if you're actually using it. I want to see how you guys like it, because it's $50 and whatever that diameter is, it's not a lot. So again, you're paying for the coolness and you're paying for the compactness of everything. So blah blah blah. If you've owned or have used what I'm talking about, the sear and sizzle, and that's from Grill Great, by the way. That's the brand. So if you're curious, go check all that out. Guys, I think that's going to do it for today's show. Again, the phone number for the Topic Talks is 417-319-1969. It's also down in the show notes below. Scroll down there at your leisure, at your convenience. I don't want anybody getting in a wreck or run into a wall if they're walking or something. So anyway, guys, have a killer Monday. I hope you guys all had a fantastic weekend. I will see you back here Thursday. Bye-bye.